Now, may it please the court, I'm William Benjamin, registration number 3140, attorney for Dana Starr, whose unemployment insurance claim against Bolivar Community Hospital was reversed and remanded for additional findings in December of last year. Excuse me. The issue remanded by Judge Rothenberg's opinion was to determine whether Ms. Starr had a good faith but mistaken belief that the toilet paper remnants that she took had been discarded or abandoned by the hospital. If so, the opinion says that she did not commit the crime of theft or the unemployment denial provision of theft. On the other hand, the opinion stated that if the hearing officer should find that Ms. Starr acted intentionally to deprive the employer of its non-abandoned property, that she would not be entitled to benefits. As stated in the briefs, the original hearing officer, who had heard all the evidence and observed the witnesses' demeanors and made the initial decision, he had retired so that the claim was sent to his successor. And that successor, hearing officer Greshler, issued a new decision without a further hearing or without any further briefing or any additional information. Consequently, he basically accepted all of the findings that the initial hearing officer made and extended them in order to find, in his opinion, that Ms. Starr did intentionally steal toilet paper rolls from the employer. He relied most heavily on the testimony of a co-employee who had become upset when Ms. Starr told her about the fact that Ms. Starr was assembling Iraqi troop packages in May or June of 2009. And because this co-worker recalled that once she saw Ms. Starr in a toilet stall with a large bag of toilet rolls, the hearing officer concluded that Ms. Starr's initial zeal in collecting these discarded toilet rolls prompted her to go beyond just picking up what she considered to be trash, but went on to pick up items that the hearing officer decided was not trash. And this was despite the fact that in his decision, the hearing officer found that there was no direct evidence of the claimant's mental state in the form of admissions or otherwise in the testimony at the hearing. And that was also found by the Industrial Claim Appeals Office in its final order. Now, the hearing officer also found proof of Ms. Starr's lack of good faith when he cited the statement of the environmental service manager during the hearing, who claimed that she recall there had been an unusual amount of usage of toilet paper in the medical pavilion, which is a separate building from the hospital, and that although this environmental service manager had blamed homeless people coming in on weekends for this loss, the hearing officer decided that this remark by itself was evidence that this was sufficient for the employer, in retrospect, to explain an increase in the use of toilet paper in the area that Ms. Starr was removing toilet paper rolls from.
Isn't that circumstantial evidence, Mr. Benjamin, that would support a finding?
Well, I believe what we're dealing with here is the statement in the remanding decision that there be subjective proof of Ms. Starr's intent here. Well, and circumstantial evidence, in my opinion, is not subjective proof. It would need some direct statement.
But some proof that would go towards proving something, like whether it was intent or not, whether it be subjective or objective intent?
Well, it's certainly objective proof. I would agree with that. But I would deny that it's subjective proof that was demanded by the opinion here.
Pardon me, Mr. Benjamin, but to prove theft, how often do you think it is that people say, yes, officer, I stole that?
Well, I think it depends on what's stolen. If an item obviously has value, and a person walked into a store and picked up a bag of chips and walked out the door, that's theft, whether that person claims they stole it or not.
Well, I understand that, but I guess my question goes more to establishing state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's comparatively rare that people say, yes, I intended to steal.
Right.
And I think the law is clear in this state. Wouldn't you agree that we can infer a person's intent from his or her conduct?
Yes, in most instances.
And in this case, don't we have at least several facts that could be form a basis for such an inference? And I refer to only one of those, being that apparently Ms. Starr denied having a confrontation with Ms. Newman. Ms. Newman described the confrontation in some detail.
Right.
Isn't the denial of that confrontation something that a fact finder could look at and say, well, the denial of that is an indication of consciousness of guilt? And thus, that suggests to me, as the fact finder, that Ms. Starr had the intent to steal.
Well, it first of all shows that, as you know, the co-worker had only seen this supposed taking of toilet paper rolls once, some months prior to her reporting it to the supervisors. And I acknowledge that Ms. Starr had never heard of this accusation until a hearing, and that her response was that she denied that it happened. But on the other hand, she freely admitted that when she had this confrontation with the same employee in early June, she readily admitted that she had been picking up these rolls and was trying to convince the co-worker that what she was doing was proper, that she was only picking up things that she considered to be trash. So there's no evidence that she ever believed that anything she was picking up was not trash or had not been disposed of by the employer.
What about the evidence, pardon me for interrupting,
sure,
but what about the evidence that indicated that some of the rolls were not the little tiny pieces, but were more larger rolls? What about that evidence?
Well, again, Ms. Starr just stated that she was only collecting used ones, and I think that in the record, the largest amount she had stated she had taken was 3 inches, perhaps, on a roll. I agree that the fact that the initial hearing officer found against her on that she, that this incident with the co-worker occurred is damaging to her, but it does not show that she changed or ever changed her opinion, her subjective mindset that she was only picking up trash that had been abandoned.
Well, under your theory, then, she could take a full roll of the toilet paper if she had the subjective belief that it had been used and was no longer to be abandoned by the employer.
Well, it was not the fact of the case.
No, but I'm trying to understand how the 3 inches. I mean, I can look at three inches and say it's a fairly hefty amount of toilet paper, and the full roll might only be 4 inches.
But she was only picking things up from the floor that she testified. And yes, I agree.
Was she picking things up from the floor, or was she taking them from the dispenser?
Well, she testified continuously and constantly that she was only picking them up from the floor that had been abandoned.
Okay. her belief that something had been abandoned was that if it was on the floor, the employer had abandoned it.
Right. And
even if there's no proof of what the employer actually intended or mm-hmm. thought about it. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about her subjective feelings and opinions, and that's what we submit is what's important here. And I guess that basically completes my presentation, because Ms. Starr never wavered in her belief, as stated at the hearing, that the toilet roll remnants that she collected were discarded trash. The employer hearing officer's speculation to the contrary should be overturned. Thank you.
May I please the court? My name is Stu Steller. I'm with Kaplan and Ernest, and I'm here representing the Community Hospital Association. Seated with me at council table is Lee Hagner of the Colorado Attorney General's Office, representing the Industrial Claims Appeals Office. Your Honor, this court's direction last time we were here was to remand this case to the hearing officer to determine, based upon the evidence in the record, whether or not Ms. Starr had a good faith but mistaken belief that she could remove toilet paper that had been purchased by the hospital for use by hospital employees and patrons, take that toilet paper from the hospital to be used by people other than its intended users. That, quite honestly, was a tough sell, and the hearing officer didn't buy that. The question then for this court is whether or not there is evidence in the record to sustain the hearing officer's determination. And there is evidence to that effect in the record, and that evidence has been provided by Ms. Starr. Ms. Starr's story continuously has been that she had a good faith belief in her actions because what she was doing was taking trash. Trash is goods that are no longer suitable for their intended use and therefore have been abandoned by the previous user. Is there evidence in the record that these goods were no longer, or that these goods were still suitable for their intended use? Yes. That's exactly why Ms. Starr was taking the toilet paper, so that it could be put to its intended use by people other than the hospital's intended users. Is there evidence in the record that this toilet paper had not been abandoned? Yes, there is. Ms. Starr did not testify that she took these rolls of toilet paper out of garbage cans, trash bins, or dumpsters. Instead, her testimony is that she went looking for toilet paper in toilet stalls and found it. She found it exactly where it is intended to be used. In short, her testimony is that she took something that was still suitable for its intended use from a place where it was intended to be used. That evidence alone is sufficient to sustain the hearing officer's determination. The other point that I would make is we are looking at, since we have wedded criminal law with unemployment benefits law, right now we're only looking at one half of the criminal law. The criminal law requires us to look at both the actus reus and the mens rea. Ms. Starr's position continuously has been that her conduct, her action, was that she only took tiny rolls of toilet paper perhaps two or three times a week. Is there evidence in the record that conflicts with that version of events? Yes, there is. There is the account of Janice Newman that she encountered Ms. Starr in the restroom with a satchel full of 20 to 30 rolls of toilet paper, at least one of which was 3 inches thick. The hearing officer who heard the evidence and the hearing officer who reviewed the evidence both found that that confrontation occurred. So we have conduct that is inconsistent with the concept of the state of mind of the person. It's, you know, it's one thing for John Dillinger to say, I didn't know that I couldn't do what I did because all I did was pick up a quarter off the bank floor, after the jury has already determined that Mr. Dillinger emptied the safe out. I think that the stumbling block here is there's some effort to conflate the reasonable person standard with the reasonable inference standard that we use to determine state of mind when we don't have a direct admission, which we rarely have in these cases. The reasonable person standard doesn't care about state of mind. It imposes a duty upon citizens to know what reasonable persons should know so that they don't avoid injuring people. And the defense that they have a pure heart and empty head is not a defense to tort liability.
Well, we're not talking tort here, so we're talking theft. And isn't it, to prove theft, isn't it necessary to show that the specific defendant had the relevant state of mind?
Yes, absolutely. And how do we do that? As your questions indicated earlier, we do that based upon the inferences that we can draw from the evidence in the case. And we can draw reasonable inferences with respect to that specific individual's state of mind. And that's exactly what the hearing officers did in this case. Your Honors, unless there are additional questions, I would relinquish the remainder of my time to Mr. Hagner and ask that the court affirm the hearing officer and the Industrial Claims Appeals Office determination and the denial of benefits. Thank you.
If it pleases the court, my name is Lee Hagner, registration number 42, appearing on behalf of the panel. It's the position of the panel here that it has been accused, a representation has been made that the panel had committed error, because it's our belief that the standard of review before this court is something to which both the claimant and we have agreed, and that is that the standard is that the panel cannot overturn the findings of the hearing officer in the absence of clear error. And we believe there's no showing at all that there's clear error here by the panel, because the panel determined that there is more than merely the statements of the claimant to indicate what her state of mind was, and that the hearing officer based his conclusions on the fact that the record revealed certain things. So when the panel affirmed the determination made by the hearing officer, the panel stated that it realized, it agreed, that there was ample evidence of record to indicate that it would not be possible for the claimant to have a good faith but mistaken belief. What are the things in the record? And I hope I avoid being repetitious. We have an independent observer here, Mrs. Lindenmuth, who had encouraged the claimant to take the toilet paper. Mrs. Lindenmuth said to Ms. Starr, "I know where there's a lot of toilet paper. I go to your hospital a lot. You can find the toilet paper in the stalls." Ms. Lindenmuth stated that she had, as early as March of the year in which these thefts occurred, kept a set or a number of rolls of toilet paper, which Ms. Starr had taken and brought to her and said, "Look, whatever, here, send these to the troops in Iraq." It's interesting in my mind to wonder whether or not, if this wasn't being sanitized by what the intended use of the rolls were, if Ms. Starr was simply taking this paper for her own use, if our hyperventilation about this case would be as great as it is. So there is some kind of imprimatur about the fact that these were being used for the troops in Iraq, I think. Nevertheless, Mrs. Lindenmuth said, "I knew, or I suspected, something was going to come up later because of these rolls." She, as a matter of fact, brought rolls to the hearing. The record indicates the hearing officer, the original hearing officer, said, "What do you have there?" Mrs. Lindenmuth said, "I have these rolls to show what Ms. Starr was taking. This is what she brought to me." And she showed that it couldn't be, those rolls, as they were provided to her by Ms. Starr, could not be used by the troops in Iraq because there was too much paper on it. There's other evidence in the record that was derived from the maintenance staff at the hotel, that the hospital had a very good understanding of what was and was not trash. Trash was discarded. But the habit and undertaking of the hospital was to replace the toilet paper in the stalls every night at around 5 o'clock, so that when people first came into the hospital to make use of the toilet facilities, there was no question that there would be an ample supply of toilet paper. What did they do with these ends? Instead of throwing them out, they placed them on top of the dispenser, because it was the hospital's plan and intent to throw out trash, in other words, what could not be used, but to make use of those things which could be used. So the review here that was undertaken by the hearing officer and condoned by the panel was, is there evidence of record to indicate that it would not have been possible for the claimant to have had a good faith but mistaken belief? How would she have a good faith belief? Why not ask if you can take the toilet paper? If you're convinced that it has a beneficial purpose, and please do not disregard that Ms. Starr said to Ms. Newman, I am entitled to determine what is and is not trash. Come on, Janice. I'm going to decide what is trash. How does that manifest a good faith but mistaken belief? Where can there be good faith in an arrogation to herself of the right to remove property belonging to the hospital, when she is the sole arbiter of what is and is not trash? It would not have been taken, as Mr. Steller said, unless it did have some use for its intended purpose, and that is borne out by the fact that the hospital itself, maintenance staff, did not throw these toilet paper rolls out, because some use could be made. Trash is what you find where trash belongs. So the real issue here, from our point of view, is, has the panel committed error? Did the panel commit error when it found that there was ample evidence of record from which the hearing officer made a determination that, in fact, the claimant did not have a good faith but mistaken belief that what she was doing was acceptable conduct? And we would suggest that the factual record here well illustrates that it would not have been possible to have had that belief. Thank you.
And I think you have some time left if you wish to use it. All right. Thank you all for your arguments this morning. The case will stand submitted. We will get you a written opinion in due course.